So it was more than 30 years ago that doctors at places around the world began seeing a troubling pattern of fatal illness, people dying of diseases that they should have been able to fight off, people facing an onslaught of infections and organ failures with no system apparently to push back. The doctors were powerless, the victims were terrified. It was 30 years ago, though, this week, that a doctor in California put the word syndrome to what he was seeing and first identified the disease that would become known as AIDS, Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. It was Dr. Michael Gottlieb's paper that he wrote for the CDC that described a severely damaged immune system and the symptoms that would kill, over the next three decades, over 60 million people of both genders and all sexual orientations. He joined us to talk about a mystery he helped identify, but where much solving still needs to be done, including finding an AIDS vaccine. Gottlieb has continued to do research and teach medicine. He's an associate clinical professor of medicine at the UCLA Geffen School of Medicine, and he says it's hardly possible to imagine that it's been three decades since his original paper.
Well, 30 years later, I can visualize those first patients in more detail than patients I saw last week. They were so dramatically different from anything in the literature, and they didn't fit any mold.
I remember I was in Washington at the time. I was newscasting for All Things Considered at National Public Radio, and the pattern of these cases and the profile of these individuals was a huge kind of reign of terror in Washington and then in cities around the United States.
Yes, I think initially it was a reign of terror because people were afraid of it. There was prejudice based on the association early on of the disease with gay men. And I think government was very reluctant to act because of that.
And do you think that your paper and the experience with AIDS has changed the way medical researchers look at so-called behavioral phenomena, the classifications of people who are, put in a particular category, you know, in this case, sexual orientation, but you can also make the same case for drug users, not to compare them in any way. But was there a reluctance to look at these external factors?
I think so. I think it's changed medicine. I think doctors today are more tolerant of diversity and understanding, perhaps more empathetic. And I think medicine needs to address subcultures in order to be more effective.
Do you remember the patient that you first conveyed? And, I don't know how doctors do something like this, but there must have been someone there in the beginning who you said, I think you're dying of a disease that we don't know anything about.
Right. I think that those early patients just were unaware how ill they were, and they looked to us for a diagnosis and for some easy fix. And they had no idea that their underlying illness, HIV, was a new disease that would be fatal to most of them within months.
And when you discovered that, how powerless did you feel as a doctor?
Well, it was a very sad time, pretty grim, the 80s and 90s. We had special hospital units filled with young men, often disfigured and experiencing one horrible infection after another. It was a feeling of powerlessness. It's not what you go into medicine for.
Well, it certainly was a heroic moment for the CDC when you published this paper 30 years ago. How much do we know about the immune system itself as a system, as a tangible part of the body in the same way as the heart and the liver and other things that we understand?
Well, it's coming along, but really we've kind of still scratched the surface. The immune system is difficult to get your head around because it's so dispersed throughout the body. It's not situated in one place like the brain or heart, and it's got multiple arms, multiple components. It's even more complex than we know or understand today.
And does the fact that the immune system is what AIDS is all about transform the way we understand even something like a vaccine? You predicted an AIDS vaccine by 2010, back in 2000, but it still eludes us.
I guess I did, and I'm not going to make another prediction. But it's the most obvious missing piece of information, an AIDS vaccine, and I think there will be one eventually. How long will it take? I just don't know, but we can't afford not to work on it.
Do you think AIDS is the beginning of the way humans are going to interact with a lot of different kinds of diseases that will manifest themselves in the immune system? Or do you think AIDS is a one-time case?
I think AIDS is an outlier, but there are important emerging infections. And one of the spinoffs from the HIV epidemic is that people are aware of the potential for viruses around the world emerging and crossing over into the human species and causing disease. So I think surveillance is much increased since the HIV epidemic.
Is there any moment that you think back these 30 years that could have changed things for the better for so many of the people who are no longer with us? Anything that the medical community could have done better or differently?
Well, I do think about the education message in the very first years of the 80s, when a lot of scientists had a hunch that this was a virus. And I think a message could have gone out there, a more effective message to advise gay men in particular to restrict their numbers of different partners. I think that might have made a big difference in the wave of people who became infected very early on.
Well, with the very great benefit of 30 years of hindsight, still practicing medicine, doctor?
Still practicing medicine, enjoying it, trying to be a good doctor.
Associate Clinical Professor of Medicine at the UCLA Geffen School of Medicine, Dr. Michael Gottlieb, 30 years ago identified AIDS as a new disease in a paper for the Centers for Disease Control. It was only called CDC back then. Now it's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Doctor, thanks so much.
Thank you.